IPC program goals and strategy. Though oversimplified, the three principal goals of an IPC program are as follows. Protect the resident. Protect HCP, visitors, and others in the healthcare environment. Cost-effectively accomplish the prior two goals whenever possible. Each institution is unique, and its specific needs must be considered when developing or reorganizing an IPC program. Factors include facility size, resident case mix, and types of care provided. The principal functions of an IPC program are generally similar, however, and include the following. To obtain and manage critical data and information, example, infection surveillance. To develop and implement policies and procedures. To intervene directly to prevent infections and interrupt the transmission of infectious diseases. To educate and train HCP, residents, and non-medical caregivers. Key point, since surveillance involves ongoing and systematic collection, analysis, and communication of data, surveillance is a key input to any IPC program, including its risk assessment process. In turn, the risk assessment helps refine and direct surveillance. For example, the process may include comparing surveillance data to data from well-validated databases such as the National Healthcare Safety Network, NHSN, or an LTC comparative database. Components of an IPC program. An IPC now relates to more than just healthcare-associated infections, HAIs, in residents. The modern concept of an IPC program includes reducing HAIs, reducing the infection risk to HCP, residents, and visitors, preparing, updating, and using a written IPC plan based on community-wide, facility-wide, and IPC risk assessments, developing and implementing policies and procedures that, at a minimum, address surveillance of communicable diseases and infections, SP and TBP, respiratory hygiene/cough etiquette, occupational health, and linen management. Preparing, updating, and using an antimicrobial stewardship program. Cleaning, maintaining, and evaluating the physical environment. Evaluating products and related processes, that is, how they are used. Promoting health policy. Preparing for and responding to emergencies. Responding to local or regional public health issues. Educating HCP, residents, caregivers, visitors, and the community. Key point, since it involves ongoing and systematic collection, analysis, and communication of data, surveillance is a key input for any IPC program and its risk assessment process. In turn, the risk assessment helps refine and direct surveillance. The IP and their interdisciplinary team, including doctors, nurses, members of the maintenance department, etc., use a risk assessment together with a number of processes and competencies to develop, implement, and update/improve the IPC program. These include being alert to changing recommendations and federal, local, and state requirements that must be followed, as well as new scientific literature and guidelines, getting support and direction from senior leadership, staying current with changing national, regional, and local requirements that must be followed, as well as new scientific literature and guidelines. Using research-based, example, community-wide risk assessments, credible research, evidence-based, example, actions based on performance indicator variances, and risk-based techniques, example, facility-wide assessments and their IPC risk assessment component to create and update plans, policies, and procedures. Having a quality assessment and performance improvement, QAPI, component that relies on quality tools such as plan, do, study, act, PDSA, to identify and implement plan improvements. Creating a communication strategy with reference to relevant behavioral science theories so as to increase chances of long-term behavioral changes, using, for example, repetition of concepts, multisensory learning techniques, and balancing group learning and diversity. Providing relevant and timely training to HCP, residents, caregivers, and the community. Key point. Getting to zero HAIs requires having a culture in which no infection is perceived as acceptable by any member of the healthcare team. Community-wide, facility-wide, and IPC risk assessments. Risk assessments are an important way to ensure that IPC programs take into account the needs of the LTC facility and its occupant demographics. Rather than advocating a generic approach, a risk-based approach helps direct investments of resources to the areas of greatest need. This in turn will improve the chances that the IPC program will have the greatest impact based on the facility's investment of time and money. The facility-wide assessment must address or include a facility-based and a community-based risk assessment that takes an all-hazards approach. The IP may participate in community-wide risk assessments, but they are administered by third parties, such as at the state level. Risk assessments help to determine the appropriate number of hours the IP devotes to IPC. Stratify risks for prioritization. Place the information in context using comparative data when available. The infection prevention risk assessment is an integral part of the facility-wide assessment and includes a focus on the infection prevention plan, surveillance activities, and performance initiatives. Identification of high volume, high risk, and problem-prone activities is an important component of the risk assessment, and it can assist in establishing priorities and obtaining support from key stakeholders. Need for well-planned and well-executed IPC programs. Despite the fact that the CDC, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, and the World Health Organization have recognized the need for strong IPC programs in LTC facilities, adequate support and resources have not been provided to date to ensure that these programs are effective. Experts estimate that between 1.6 and 3.8 million infections occur annually in nursing homes. The wide range of estimated infections can be attributed to the lack of standardized infection definitions, surveillance, and reporting, as well as a general lack of comprehensive IPC programs. The U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, found that from 2013 to 2017, 82% of all inspected nursing homes had an IPC deficiency, including a lack of regular hand washing that was identified through Medicare and Medicaid surveys. CMS requirements. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is responsible for oversight and reimbursement monitoring for the Medicare and Medicaid programs. Key point: Federal Register, Medicare and Medicaid programs, reform of requirements for long-term care facilities, infection control, Section 483.80. We are requiring facilities to develop an infection prevention and control program, IPCP, that includes an antibiotic stewardship program and designate at least one infection preventionist, IP. Here are the requirements as listed in the CMS, State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities, Section F880, Rev. 208, issued 21st October 2022, effective 21st October 2022, implementation 24th October 2022, Section 483.80, Infection Control. The facility must establish and maintain an infection prevention and control program designed to provide a safe, sanitary, and comfortable environment and to help prevent the development and transmission of communicable diseases and infections. Section 483.80, Infection Prevention and Control Program. The facility must establish an infection prevention and control program, IPCP, that must include, at a minimum, the following elements. Section 483.80I, 1, a system for preventing, identifying, reporting, investigating, and controlling infections and communicable diseases for all residents, staff, volunteers, visitors, and other individuals providing services under a contractual arrangement based upon the facility assessment conducted according to Section 483.70E and following accepted national standards. Section 483.80I2, written standards, policies and procedures for the program, which must include, but are not limited to, a system of surveillance designed to identify possible communicable diseases or infections before they can spread to other persons in the facility. II, when and to whom possible incidents of communicable disease or infections should be reported. III, standard and transmission-based precautions to be followed to prevent spread of infections, if, when, and how isolation should be used for a resident, including but not limited to, a, the type and duration of the isolation, depending upon the infectious agent or organism involved, and b, a requirement that the isolation should be the least restrictive possible for the resident under the circumstances. Be the circumstances under which the facility must prohibit employees with a communicable disease or infected skin lesions from direct contact with residents or their food, if direct contact will transmit the disease. And the hand hygiene procedures to be followed by staff involved in direct resident contact. Section 483.80 4. A system for recording incidents identified under the facility's IPCP and the corrective actions taken by the facility. Section 483.80 E-Linens. Personnel must handle, store, process, and transport linens so as to prevent the spread of infection. Section 483.80 F Annual Review. The facility will conduct an annual review of its IPCP and update their program, as necessary. Key point. The infection preventionist is responsible for staying current with any changes in relevant IPC regulations. The key to IPC is that it is an ongoing process, not a one-time event. Core IPC team and committee members. The core infection prevention team starts with the infection preventionist, IP, defined as someone who is qualified through education, training, experience, or certification in IPC. These individuals may be leaders, educators, and collaborators from diverse backgrounds, including nursing, public health, laboratory services, and allied health fields. The LTC facility may have an interdisciplinary IPC committee. At smaller organizations, other committees and/or groups could cover the committee function. Often the IPC committee is managed by the Quality Assessment and Performance Improvement, QAPI, committee at LTC facilities. CMS requires at least one IP be on this quality committee per Section 483.80C and report to it on IPC issues on a regular basis. The position of the infection preventionist is subject to specific requirements from CMS, as listed in the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities, Section F882, Ref. 208, issued 21st October 2022. Effective 21st October 2022, implementation 24th October 2022, Section 483.80B Infection Preventionist. The facility must designate one or more individual, S, as the infection preventionist, S, IP, S, who are responsible for the facility's IPCP. The IP must, Section 483.80B, 1, have primary professional training in nursing, medical technology, microbiology, epidemiology, or other related field. Section 483.80B, 2, be qualified by education, training, experience, or certification. Section 483.80B, 3, work at least part-time at the facility. And Section 483.80B, 4, have completed specialized training in infection prevention and control. The Certification Board of Infection Control and Epidemiology, CBIC, defines 8 IP core competency activities, which are demonstrated through practice analysis conducted every 5 years. These competencies are identification of infectious disease processes, surveillance and epidemiological investigation, prevention/control of the transmission of infectious agents and HAIs, employee/occupational health, management and communication, education and research, environment of care, cleaning, sterilization, disinfection, and asepsis. The IPC team is the group of people responsible for carrying out all aspects of the IPC program as delegated by facility leadership. The core of this team includes the IP, the chair of the IPC committee, the healthcare epidemiologist, if this position is staffed at the facility, and possibly someone responsible for occupational health or administration. The IPC team will be responsible for planning and implementing IPC activities and projects. While many persons may have an active role on this team, the IP is accountable for its success. In small hospitals, the core team may be comprised of only the IP. The LTC facility may have an interdisciplinary IPC committee. At smaller organizations, other committees and/or groups could cover the committee function. Often the IPC committee is managed by the Quality Assessment and Performance Improvement, QAPI, committee at LTC facilities. CMS requires at least one IP be on this quality committee per Section 483.80C and report to it on IPC issues on a regular basis. IPC programs are often governed or overseen by an interdisciplinary IPC committee. Having an interdisciplinary IPC committee is crucial to the success of the IPC program because IPC issues and measures often cross departmental lines. Note that in some situations there may be an IPC program but no IPC committee, in which case the IPC program should develop other mechanisms, such as using a quality improvement model, for getting interdisciplinary support for changes and actions. The committee should meet regularly, usually monthly or quarterly, and receive regular reports on the IPC program and the status of initiatives that are being implemented and measured. Members of this committee may include IP, Patient Safety Representative, Nursing Representative, Administrative Representative, Occupational Health Representative, Environmental Services, EVS, Representative, Facility/Building Management Representative, Physicians Representative, example, the healthcare epidemiologist or infectious disease physician. Ad hoc members from other departments as needed, example, food and nutritional services. The WHO recommends that the IPC program committee be a technical team of trained nursing and medical professionals who are responsible for organizing, implementing, and monitoring practices. Programs in most countries are coordinated by persons with the necessary medical background. For example, medical microbiologist, an epidemiologist, or an infectious disease physician. An IPC committee is not required by the Joint Commission, TJC. However, some facilities may be required to have an IPC committee by other entities, and those requirements may also specify who needs to be on this team. IPC reporting structure. Depending on the institution, infection prevention professionals may report to administration, nursing or medical services, or quality improvement departments. Other reporting relationships also exist. In some institutions, the IPC program is integrated with other departments. For example, infectious diseases, risk management, quality assurance, or performance improvement departments. Key point, the relationship between the IP, the director of nursing or medical services, and the administrator has been described as a three-legged stool. All three roles need to be in sync in terms of communications, goals, and objectives for the IPC program to be effective. Risk assessments and uses in planning and priority setting. The IPC team should develop realistic strategies for surveillance and intervention. Steps in this process include the following: establishing a reliable, focused surveillance program based on the annual risk assessment, streamlining data management, analyzing HAI rates, aiming for zero HAI rates, educating staff regarding prevention strategies, identifying opportunities for performance improvement, taking a leadership role in performance improvement teams, developing and implementing action plans that outline the steps needed to accomplish each objective, evaluating the success of action plans and accomplishing the goals and objectives of the IPC plan. Note that large hospital organizations may establish overall goals as well as more specific goals for an LTC facility in their network.